You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, beautiful human. Thank you so much for letting us into your ears today. Maggie Lindemann, going to be hanging out with us very soon. She's a brand new EP that we're going to dissect. It's called Paranoia. We have a lot to discuss. Please subscribe to this podcast, share it with those you care about, and yeah, thank you for hanging out and giving us your energy. Maggie Lindemann, here we go. Hello, beautiful human. My name is Zach. We got Dan here.
Yo, yo.
And we welcome to the show, back again, Maggie Lindemann.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
We have an entire album to dissect today. I'm very excited about it because I went on an emotional journey listening to Paranoia. It was like this manic trip. What is this album to you? Like, how do you see it today? Because it's been out in the world for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of the same thing. I started writing it in 2019, just when I was going through, like, so many different things, and the main thing being paranoia, which is why it's called that. But just, like, living in this house and experiencing all this, like, paranoia, and basically the EP is literally just, like, talking through the steps of, like, my paranoia and, like, life I was experiencing, and the last song being in quarantine.
So this album documents up until how recently?
It was like, I want to say midway through 2020. Like, the very last song was It's Not Your Fault. And that one we put on like literally a month before I announced the EP. Maybe even like a couple weeks before I announced the EP.
The last song is in quarantine. How is that song different? And what song isn't? Is it exactly? Is it It's Not Your Fault?
Yeah, It's Not Your Fault.
How is that song different than the rest of the album? And is quarantine reflected in it in any way?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just about being in this, like, repetitive cycle. And obviously, being in quarantine, like, we don't have as many opportunities to, like, get out and do new things. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, I've seen a lot of people in relationships either struggling or they're doing great. But right now is, like, definitely a time that you're really, like, forced to deal with someone like that you're with, and you're really forced to like see them in every single like aspect. So sometimes that can be hard, because it's like, for me, I'm a person that like loves to get out and do new things. Like, I love to like go to the aquarium and go to, I don't know, just go shopping, like do anything. And we're so restricted right now. So I don't know, it's been hard at a few points for me, just because I feel like I'm in this repetitive cycle and I have like nothing new to do.
But the truth is, it's not your fault. It's the fault of our world.
Yeah.
And the panorama we're all experiencing. I mean, nobody is immune to what we're going on in some way. Like, it's affected everybody. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, seriously.
What does it feel like to be able to write a song in the moment and then get it out there into the world relatively quickly, especially when some of a lot of this album was made years ago?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I like quick turnarounds because, I mean, obviously I hate sitting on a song for like 2 years because I just want everyone to hear it. So it was really cool for that reason. But then also it's like, and some of my older songs, like, I don't feel that way anymore. Like, a lot of them, like, I'm not experiencing anymore, and like, I'm over it. But the newer stuff, it's like, maybe I'm still experiencing it. But with It's Not Your Fault, it's like, that was such a little tiny blimp in my life that, like, I don't experience that at all anymore. And I don't know, it's funny because you just never know, I guess.
Is paranoia something you still deal with today?
Yeah, definitely. Mostly at night. I am a very, very paranoid person.
Can you explain what it feels like to deal with that on a daily basis? And, like, what do you experience every night?
Yeah, it's really frustrating because I experience it most when I'm trying to go to sleep. Any noise I hear, I, like, just freak out. And I don't know, I have to like constantly, like I'll lay down and I'll hear noise and I'll have to like sit up and look around my whole room. And that happens. Like last night I was experiencing a lot of paranoia, and I think I stayed up like past the time I laid in bed, like 2 hours, just experiencing that over and over and over again. So it's like at some point it just drives you crazy, because it's like I know nothing's there, but my brain is literally telling me like, no, like someone is standing in the corner of your room. Like you feel their eyes. Just check. And when that happens so many times, it's like exhausting.
So how does it go from something you experience late at night into an actual physical album? Is there a defining moment where your paranoia was just so thick that you're like, yo, I need to take these feelings and emotions and let them flow into a body of work? Or do you create the album and then go, this is the name that sums this up?
I was just in that cycle for a really long time, and it just felt like something that was going on a lot in my life. And just with things that are happening a lot, I just tend to write about them. So one night, actually, I was texting someone, though, because I literally thought someone was breaking into my house. It turned out to just be my roommate. But I was sleeping with a knife under my pillow, and I actually sent him a picture of the knife under my pillow, and I was like, don't worry, I have a knife under my pillow. Like, I'm going to be okay. And then that's how I came up with Knife Under My Pillow, that literally. Title. And from there, I was like, paranoia, like, that's really sick. And I kind of just ran with it.
So, okay, do you go into the studio the next day and go, hey guys, you wouldn't believe it, but I slept with a knife under my pillow and we need to write a song about this? Because it's only you and two other writers on the record.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. I was just experiencing a lot of paranoia, and I was reading through my text, and I thought that was like a really funny title. And I was like, guys, like I literally sleep with a knife under my pillow. Like, I feel like that's so cool. And then we kind of were just like, wait, yeah, that's like really cool. Let's talk about that. Because I feel like some people can relate to that, strangely. I don't know. I just thought it was a cool title.
I think it's cool, but I also think it's kind of dangerous. What if you roll around and get poked?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot, actually. But I sleep with a switchblade, so it's, like, retractable, you know? So, like, I won't poke myself.
I don't like that you have to live in a world where you have to sleep with a knife under your pillow.
I don't either.
You do not deserve this.
I don't either. It's the worst.
Knife Under My Pillow, that was the lead single off the EP, right? Okay, great. Because when I heard that, I said, yes, this is great. This is phenomenal. This is what I felt like you should always be making. I don't want to say like what took so long, but I don't know how else to say it. So what took so long to get to this sound?
When I first started making music, I was just really young, and I didn't really know like what kind of music I wanted to make. I just knew I wanted to make music. So then when I got signed to a label, obviously I'm young. I have a look that can be very pop. And it felt like, just like with Pretty Girl, it blew up so big, obviously. And then from a label's perspective, like they want you to continue with that, because obviously it makes money and we know it's going to work. So let's continue with that. And for a while, it was kind of this like internal battle with, do I want to do what I actually want to do, or do I want to make money and like know I'm going to be successful and be comfortable? So it kind of just was that for a really long time. Just like I was too scared to do it because I just didn't want to risk me possibly failing and, you know, being in this like terrible situation. So eventually just got to the point where I couldn't do that anymore, and I just wasn't having fun, and it just didn't feel like me, and it felt like I was like lying to people. So I just was like, all right, I'm gonna do this.
You always kind of like teetered on the border of like ska and a little bit of punk, and you know, I was watching our last conversation and going through my last set of notes, and the truth is, this is the proper evolution, I think, sonically. I used the word manic when I first described the album, and I say that only because on some records you're screaming, and I mean, would you consider that genre that you created within screamo, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Then you have a song like Love Songs, which is like so soft and so delicate, and I mean, like for lack of a better phrase, like the opposite of you screaming.
Yeah.
why was it important to include just the dichotomy, the, I don't know, it seems to be like a roller coaster for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like I was saying, like a walkthrough of my life and what I was experiencing and like my brain. And I'm just very all over the place and I can never stick with one thing at all in my life. So I don't know. It's just literally a walkthrough of my brain and like all of the emotions and like the craziness. And yeah, I didn't also want to like stick with one very, very specific sound. Like I wanted there to be a variety for people that maybe don't like screaming, you know?
Sorry, I gotta hit pause to tell you about one of my favorites, Native Deodorant. It's my favorite for many reasons. It's made with things that we understand, like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. And Native has a bunch of different scents that's guaranteed to make your nose dance. My current favorite is eucalyptus and mint. Also, I'm a big lavender and rose guy. And Native, I mean, they're better for so many reasons, including better for our earth. They finally have figured out how to make deodorant plastic-free, so come on, buy Native with me. Just go to nativedeo.com. You'll get 20% off. nativedeo.com/Zach. Go there. nativedeo.com/Zach. And you get risk-free shopping along with the purchase. So you get 30 days to make returns or exchanges. But I'm telling you, there's like 16,000 five-star reviews, so you're going to like what you put on your pits. nativedeo.com/Zach. Or use my name, Zach. When you're checking out, you'll get 20% off your first purchase. NativeDeo.com/Zach. The last stuff you put out there, Everything After Pretty Girl, the last kind of era, was that music you? Or is that music what you felt like you had to be?
I feel like it was a part of me at a time. Like, the lyrics to Pretty Girl resonated with me. But it was, like, the whole vibe of it never felt like me. I felt like I was trying to fit into that character. So it's weird because like when I talk about Pretty Girl and I like obsessed, it feels like I'm talking about like someone else's music. Like I just don't feel like that was me at all. But it's like some of the lyrics, I'm like, yes, that was totally me at the time. But the whole pink and all that stuff just was someone that I was like trying to be and like play this role so that it was more like realistic.
So are you nervous to share who you really are? Because who you really are is not pink. It's black.
I was nervous at first, but I mean, it definitely first started with my style. Like I started dressing the way I wanted and it wasn't that I was like nervous. It was just more of like, I knew people would be like, oh, like, following trends or you change, like, are you okay? Like, is something going on? And it's like when people change to a darker style, everyone thinks it's a phase automatically. Like, but no one, like if I started dressing pink and like being like super girly and stuff, no one would be like, oh, is this a phase? Like, are you okay? So it was kind of just that thing. Like, I didn't want to deal with people like trying to like, are you being authentic? Like, I didn't want to deal with that, but it just got to the point where I was like, oh, I don't even care. Like, I just want to do it, and I just, like, who cares?
Is it easier to make music in this current era than it was before?
Yes, way easier. Like, I have fun doing it. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't feel like I'm trying to come up with things that, like, I would say. Mm. It's just, like, natural.
What is it like working with Sick I was going to say Sick Brian, but it's Sick Brain.
It's so funny because we always joke about that. And I always call her Sick Brian, but yeah, it's Sick Brain. She's my best friend, so it was so fun working with her. And I just think she's so cool, and she's a really, really good songwriter, and she's just really talented. So I really wanted to work with her and just do a song, and we literally wrote it in like 2 hours or something. It was insane.
What fuels a record like Gaslight? Where does that come from? Does somebody gaslight you? Do you gaslight? Do you witness gaslighting?
What is gaslighting?
Oh, Dad, learn an SAT word.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, gaslighting is like, I was trying to give this definition to someone recently, and it was, I don't know why I had such a hard time doing it, but it's like, you know, when, like, okay, say if you got cheated on, and then you were like, hey, like, why would you cheat on me? Why would you do this? And they're like, God, you know, I wouldn't have had to cheat on you if you wouldn't be so stupid. Like, you're just so dumb. Like, I had to cheat on you. Like, I can't tell you I'm sorry because I already said I'm sorry.
According to the... She's on it. According to the dictionary, gaslight means manipulating someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity, which...
They make you feel like you're the crazy person.
Yeah, like you're crazy and like, oh, I cheated on you because it's your fault and I shouldn't have to apologize to you because it already happened so long ago.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Are you learning new things?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That there was a word for it?
Yeah, no, I knew that was a thing. Yeah. I knew that, but I didn't know gaslighting was the name of it.
Yes. I feel like, I don't know, like I've been gaslighted so much and I know she's been gaslighted and we listen to a lot of like that type of music when we're together, like Suicide Boys, NASCAR Aloe, like all that kind of stuff. So going into the studio, we were just listening to that the whole way and we were like, dude, let's just do something so crazy. But we're girls, so it's like, I feel like there's not so many like girl representation of what we were listening to on the way. We were like, oh, I think it'd be really cool to kind of like switch the narrative and like a girl be talking about how like you're gaslighting me, but I'm not going to give into it. And like, you're going to pay.
Now, why was this the perfect song to bring back screams? Because a lot of this pop punk is coming back, but nobody's really doing the screaming that much.
I mean, she screams in her music, so I was like, I just think it'd be sick. And I don't scream, but I've always wanted to do something with screaming, and I just felt like it would be a perfect song for it.
There's a real technique to screaming properly and for it to be, you know, pleasant to the ears, correct?
Yeah.
Does she teach you, or do you just go in and let it wail?
I mean, I can't scream. I feel like it would not be pleasant on the ears at all. I don't know. She hasn't had any, like, teachings or anything. No one's taught her. She's just like, I'm just naturally gifted screamer. So
it does take skill because I grew up listening to, like, Senses Fail, Hawthorne Heights, and they have phenomenal screamers, and I'll go in the car and try to scream, and I sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
So there is, like, a technique to it, and I just can't figure out what it is.
Yeah, it's like this scream, but it's like a sing, and it's like... I don't know. Yeah, I just sound like screaming.
Have you tried?
Yeah. Of course I've tried, but it's just terrible.
Scissorhands is another great record on this album. Really, really good.
Thank you.
Are you Scissorhands?
Yeah. I feel like probably.
I get that. By the way, I feel understood by the record top to bottom. Does something what happens to start this? And how do you come up with the name?
Well, I love Edward Scissorhands. I love the movie. I love what it's about. I don't know. I just watched it, and I just felt like the story was so sad but so beautiful. And I just love the characters, and I just wanted to write a song about it.
So directly from the movie, not from your life?
Yeah. I mean, the movie inspired it. And then I was like, oh, I like feel like I can relate to this sad boy that like comes from his home and is like forced to live in this life, and everyone turns out like, oh, why aren't you perfect? And it's like, oh, how do you expect me to be? You know, I don't know. I just felt like I felt that.
The knife cutting sounds in that song are, I don't want to say the F word, but sick.
Thank you.
How did you guys make those?
They're actually forks clinking together. Which is funny because it sounds so sick, but it's literally us, like, going like this with forks.
Who discovers that? How do you discover that?
Well, I was like, do we have any knives? Like, I feel like a knife little, like, section would be cool. Yeah. And then he was like, well, I don't have knives, but I have forks. And we were like, that'll work, actually. And it sounds amazing, so it works.
Is that a decision that's made while you're making the song, or do you guys listen to it afterwards? You're like, okay, what can really make this song the best it could be?
Well, so Scissorhands actually took a couple of days. Like, we did Scissorhands the first day, and then I got the mix back of the production. It sounded completely different. And then we went back in again, and then I was like, okay, I feel like scissor sounds would be really cool right here. And then that's when we did those sounds. And then it even, like, we went back into the studio, like, two more times after that to try to, like, make the production even crazier and the lyrics and stuff. So that song was, like, the longest to do, but it was a process, yeah.
Is there a song off this album that resonates the most with you today that maybe didn't before?
I feel like Crash and Burn, and I still feel like Different is like my favorite song.
What's the story behind Different?
So Different happened when I just basically went through this like really traumatic moment in my life. Like it was just a really scary time. And I came back home, and within like, like a week, I went into the studio, and at the time I wasn't like going to therapy or anything. So music was my therapy, still is, but being in the studio was like my moment to talk about everything and like really get it out and like just try to talk through this moment. And so yeah, that's how Different came about. And the first day we actually just did melody passes, and we were just talking, like basically just a literal therapy session, and just did melody passes. And then the next day we came in and wrote the lyrics, and it was like such a crazy like release for me, and like this like very relieving moment.
It was pent up, and it came from an event, is that correct?
Yes.
When was this? How long ago?
This was in like the end of June, 2018.
Was that the Malaysia thing?
Yes.
How long after that event do you turn it into a song? Like how long do you sit with that?
Well, I actually had, so I had this, like I immediately was like, oh, I really want to get into a session. And everyone was kind of like, you know, you don't have to do that. Like, we can just wait and just take your time with it. And I was like, no, like, I really, really think that I just need to get into a session. Yeah. Because if I don't, I'm going to kind of go crazy. So I think it was like a little over a week. Like, I think it was like 10 days or something that I waited. And then I went into the studio like literally 10 days later and wrote it. And I mean, I feel like it was just, like, needed because, like I said, I wasn't in therapy or anything for it. So it was just something that, like, was my therapy, and I just really needed that, and I needed to be around people that would, like, listen to me and help me make it, like, make something good out of the situation.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm assuming that it wasn't just that moment. That was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, right? I'm sure you were probably performing a ton. There was a lot going on. Your whole world was different in the summer of 2019. Like, your reality was in the process of changing forever. That's correct, right? If I have poor perception of time now that we've been through a pandemic, but yeah. I'm pretty sure that's like when we first met you. Like, it was really popping off. Things were becoming different for you.
Yeah, it was like right before, I think, we had our first interview.
When you look back at that moment, are you grateful for it at all? Or do you realize that you've become a better artist because of it?
I think I'm definitely a better artist. I don't know if it's because of it. I definitely, if I could go back and change the situation, I would. And I would not live through it. But, I mean, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, even if it's a terrible reason or whatever it is. So I wouldn't say I'm grateful for it, but happens for a reason.
Is there ever a feeling of like, okay, whatever somebody can throw at me next, I can deal with it a little bit easier next time?
Yeah, I think maybe. I don't know. I feel like it definitely, I don't know, like I'm more on my toes now. Like I'm definitely more prepared. Like I will never, like I will always make sure to have absolutely everything in place for everything I do going forward. Like I will never let anything slip past me. Which is something that before I just, like, never did. Like, I would just obviously let, like, my manager handle it or, like, you know, who's ever supposed to be handling it. I would just let that happen. But I think now, like, I just always make sure, like, me and my manager are, like, on top of everything. We always make sure, like, we know what's going on just so we're not ever, like, blindsided or anything.
And now you have a record, an incredible record. Why does this song mean so much to you today? Maybe does it mean something different today than what it meant to you when you were making it?
Yeah, it definitely means something different, but I still think it's the, like, I have anxiety, and obviously I go through what most people go through with, like, their insecurities or, you know, like, confidence or just, like, wanting to literally be someone different, which I just experience all the time. Like, I always look back and I'm like, oh, should I have done stuff different? Should I have, like, I just wish I could be someone different. But, I mean, I guess it's normal to have these moments. But, yeah, I've definitely been experiencing that, especially a lot in quarantine, because we just have, like, so much time to think.
So much time to reflect, right? And, like, I do the same thing, and I like to think to myself, oh, when I think about those moments where I could have done 1,000 things different and my life would have maybe been this so much different or maybe better or worse, I like to convince myself that by thinking about them, I'm learning from it. But I think it's all, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you and Brandon are together, but I think the Love Songs music video answered that question for me.
Yeah.
So why did you name a love song to your boyfriend Love Songs?
I don't know. I just, like, I was thinking of titles for it, and I just like when people name stuff, like, something that is, like, either obvious, but it's, like, not a lyric, but it's, like, obvious, or it's, like, completely random and has nothing to do with anything that you know of. And I don't know. I just thought Love Songs was, like, funny, and it just fit because it's a love song.
Now, what's his reaction when you first show him the song like that?
He loved it. He was just so excited because he had written me so many songs already, and, like, he would always send them to me, but he has never had anyone write a song for him. So he was just, like, so excited about it, and it was supposed to only be for him, but then I sent it to my manager, and he loved it, so we ended up putting it out.
Was it a hard decision to put it on this album? Because it is sonically really different than what else is on there.
Yeah, it was one of the first ones, actually. So it was literally, like, different love songs, and, yeah, it was literally those two. Those were, like, the first ones. And so at that time, it felt like it could still go a little bit. And I was like, okay, I'm cool with putting it out. But then as time went on, I was like, does this make sense? Like, I can't tell. But I think overall, like, I'm really happy that it came out because it is this, like, really personal song. And it is, like, this time stamp memory that's, like, in my life. And no matter what happens, like, it does mark, like, just a really, really happy time in my life. And, I don't know, like, it's a good moment, so I don't want to forget about it.
And by the way, it does fit. Like, it's paranoia. Like, this seems like the weird random stages of life, and I keep using roller coaster, and that's just because you didn't – I never knew what I was going to get out of the next record.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. That's, you know, it's what I want. As I go through who you worked with on the project, there seems to be a couple names that recur, right? Cody and Jenna – the collaborators that you've collaborated a couple times over, why is that important? Why is it important to understand and to know who you're working with?
I just feel like I've had so many sessions with so many different people throughout my career, and it's really hard to find someone that you, like, really, really connect with and just have, like, an instant good vibe with. And with, like, Cody, he was in my very first session that I did for Different, and I just felt, like, this instant bond with him. Like, he is just so talented and so, like, kind, and never made me feel like I needed to, like, rush through a story or, like, change topics, or, like, never made me feel stupid about anything I was doing, which for me, like, I don't know, I'm really sensitive, so when someone makes me feel, like, dumb or gives me, like, any inkling that they're, like, not vibing with me, I'm, like, immediately off of it. So, like, that was just such an amazing session. And then from there, like, I kept working with a lot of people that were in that session. And then I met, like, Josh later on and Alex. And same thing, like, this instant connection where they just made me feel so safe and at home. And, like, Paris is just an angel. And I don't know, it's just important to me to have, like, a good group of people that are around you that, like, genuinely support you and want the best for you. And, like, not just in it for money or whatever.
I think that's, like, really important for everybody who listens to music to remember, but also at the same time to remember that, like, these sessions are mostly you talking about life and then turning the life into records. So, you know, it's really about you opening up and sharing your, and I mean, it's rough to share your someone who gives off the sign that they don't really care about you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, or is bored by it or wants to move on from it. And it's like, it's you got to get the balance and the people right. It's hard.
It is. Yeah. Or just, I don't know. It's just weird to be in a session talking about stuff. And then you're like, is this person going to go like talk about me to their friends after the session? Like, am I about to hear stuff about me around LA? Like,
and
nah,
that, the risk is real.
It is. Cause I mean, they're not your therapist. They're not, they didn't sign something that they can't go tell everyone about it. So I don't know. It's scary.
How do you find producers and other musicians that are willing to work with you to get the sound you want? And they're not like, hey, why don't we try to do that again?
I mean, I've definitely had sessions like that, but again, I think it's just finding like a good group of people that aren't like that. And that's kind of why I've been working with the same people for this whole EP and hope to continue working with for my album, because they just genuinely like believe in me and my vision, and they're willing to like, you know, do whatever it takes for me to be happy with what we're doing instead of them being happy with it. And I don't know, I feel like that's like the best thing you can have with people you work with.
So what elements of paranoia are you taking with you as you create your album?
I mean, it's definitely going to be the same sound, like definitely still alternative pop punk. Hopefully going to be more screamo on it. I would love that. I definitely want to like collab with more people in that world. And I don't know, I definitely just want to continue to grow though. Like I want it to sound the same, but like elevated. So I don't know. Hopefully it'll be like paranoia, but better.
Do you see yourself as one of the people ushering in a new generation of pop punk? Punk? Maybe not pop punk, you know, whatever you want to call it, alternative music.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say that because, I don't know, I feel like weird to say that about myself because I'm just like doing my thing. Like, I don't know. but there's definitely like this new wave. Like we have like Machine Gun Kelly, which is insane. His album was number one and it's a pop punk album in 2020. Like in 2020, that's like literally insane. And I mean, we still have like Bring Me the Horizon coming out with insane albums, and Avril Lavigne's coming back, and Maud Sun, and I don't know. It's just cool to be a part of it. Like whether I'm helping or not, it's just cool to be a part of it.
I think it's cool to see more girls getting involved because, like you said, you have Machine Gun Kelly, Maud Sun, Youngblood, and yes, Avril's coming back. But it's cool to see another female getting involved in this whole pop punk craze.
I agree, but also Avril never went anywhere. Like, I don't know what y'all are saying.
Oh, she didn't go anywhere, but she did but release a...
It just was less pop punky. It was just a little bit more pop leaning.
I get it. Which, it wasn't Skater Boy, but there was depth to the body of work, okay?
But she's coming back, like, pop punk, full swing. Like, she's coming back. So, that's what I mean. Avril Lavigne is, of course, still here. She's a queen. But
Avril Lavigne, I love you.
Avril Lavigne, I love you. Please notice me.
Manifest that, dude. I mean,
I've been manifesting it since I was like 8 years old.
I'm oh, then what's going on? She's really one of the greatest energies of my life.
Have you ever met her?
I haven't.
Oh. I don't want to brag, but we've skateboarded with her.
I do have a question, though. You see all these guys collabing, like Youngblood, Maud Sun, Machine Gun Kelly, whoever it may be. Why haven't you gotten involved in this yet?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't been asked, but I would love to. I don't know. I would love to collab with them, with any of them. They're all so talented. I really want to collab with Kellen Quinn. That's like my, that's like the one person I, like once I collab with, I can like be done. I'll just quit right then and there. He's just, I don't know. That's like the one person that I've always said, like, I just really, really want to meet and I just really want to collab with, or even if he doesn't want to collab, like, I just want to write a song with him. But I don't know. I feel like I'm still, like, new, so I get why I haven't done more stuff yet with other people, but I hope to in the future, for sure.
I would love to see your Avril Lavigne collab. I would love to see maybe a Travis Barker thing.
You've worked with Travis before, though, haven't you?
I did.
Did you do a Pretty Girl remix?
No, I did a Friends Go remix with him.
Oh, I knew it was a remix. I knew he threw drums on something. But then there is like the fresh crop, like JXDN, Jaden Hosler, and then
Nessa's getting into it.
Goody Grace.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Goody's insane too.
But see, the crazy thing is, like, I do think of you as, like, an original, because your evolution has been very clear to me sonically from the last body of work that I really dove into. And I'm really excited to watch you to continue to evolve. Is the album, as we speak, is it finished? Is it in process? Like, where are you at?
It's not finished, but I have started on it. There's, like, 2 or 3 songs right now, but I am working on it. But I'm still working on so much stuff for the EP right now that hasn't come out yet. So it's so all over the place right now. So much is going on.
Okay. So why was the Paranoia meant to be an EP and not an album?
So I went back and forth about this a lot because there were so many songs originally and everyone kept saying, like, you can't have this many songs on an EP. So it was that battle of, like, should I come out with an album? But I just really didn't want to have, like, my first body of work be an album. I just felt like that was such, like, an album is like an album, you know, everyone remembers your albums. Like, you know, if this EP turned out to be awful, like, it's okay. Cause it's an EP and
the world will move
it's
on.
It's not an album yet. You know what I mean? So I just didn't want to have, like, something so, like, out yet. And, yeah. I don't know, I'm still evolving. So I know that in, like, 2 years, I'm probably going to look at this EP and be like, oh, I could have done so much better on these songs and, like, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know.
What is your expectation for when you look back or listen back to your album?
I want to listen back and just be, like, proud of it and just not feel, like, embarrassed about it, but feel like this was, like, a really good place to start. And I feel like that about my EP still, but who knows how I'll feel in, like, a couple years. But, yeah, I just want to be, like, proud of it, and I just want it to be, like, a really good starting place.
Do you have, like, a general goal that you keep in mind when you make music? Like, I mean, it could be anything. Like, you know, I want this record to be good 50 years from now, or it could be, you know, I just want this record to capture me in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of both. Like, on a couple of the songs, I really, really wanted to make them, like, stand out. Because, you know, when you listen to, like, all these songs, like, Misery Business, the first second of Misery Business, you know it's Misery Business. Like, you don't have to listen to it to know. And I kind of just wanted that. Like, I want it to be in 10 years, like, you hear the first note and you're like, oh, I, like, this is, it's not your fault. Like, I know that. So I kind of, I don't know, I just want it to, like, make its mark and just, like, have people remember it and also listen back and be like, oh my God, I remember when the song came out. Like, I love this song. It's, like, nostalgic for me. Like, I was in 10th grade when this song came out. Like, I want it to be that kind of thing.
Hell yeah. I mean, dude. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, I think Hayley Williams just tweeted today she's ready for a new Paramore album.
Did she really?
Yeah, I think so. I think she said she said something about how she wrote a lot for her solo album, but she wants to put it into a new Paramore album.
I hope so.
It's been like 5 years, I think. 4 or 5 years since the last one out. Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that.
2017, I think.
I saw her perform when she had red hair at Bamboozle. It was very hot. It was a parking lot. It captures the sun. It was amazing.
Does it feel cool to be categorized with those people in a way? Like, you have Hayley Williams, you have Avril, and now people are starting to talk about Maggie Lindemann in the same kind of way?
Yes, it's literally insane to me. I feel like I am not worthy, but it's just so, I don't know. Those are, like, literally my idols. Those are people I've looked up to since I was, like, literally a child. So it's insane to be even next to their names. Like, for anyone to even put me in the same sentence is, like, such an honor.
You know what I'm the most excited about is when this is all going to die down and vaccines are, you know, distributed and people are vaccinated. I need to see Bamboozle and or Warped Tour return. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, but it seems to me like there's a thick enough base of artists here to build a summer tour around.
Absolutely.
Or a festival. I mean, I think Bamboozle and maybe even Warped Tour might be before your time, Maggie. I don't know. I'm, like, aging myself.
No. Like, Warped Tour is definitely my time. I think Bamboozle might be, but Warped Tour, I remember Warped Tour very vividly.
Pretty sick. Warped Tour was pretty cool, but Bamboozle really, I mean, I loved Warped Tour. I've gone to so many, but Bamboozle was everything. It's a New Jersey staple, baby. Mm-hmm. Kesha performed at Warped Tour.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Anyway,
so I iconic.
Yeah, it was iconic. I mean, it was weird to think of, like, you know, in that moment for Kesha to be, like, an alternative artist. But the truth is, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that scene. I miss live music. When you listen back... Sorry, what were you... Sorry.
Oh, nothing. I just said, yeah, me too. I miss... Yeah. I want Warped Tour to come back.
Well, I want to know about your live... this album and turning it into a live performance. Like, this is something you don't even... You haven't even given thought to yet, right?
Oh, I've definitely given thought to it.
Really?
For sure. Yeah. Of course. Like, when I'm making, I give it thought. Like, I'm like, oh, I just can't even wait.
That diamond on your tooth, is it a diamond? What is it?
Oh, yeah. I have tooth gems.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. What is, like, is it like a real gem? What's...
I have a knife. A knife on this tooth.
Oh.
And then I have, like, this whole tooth blinged out.
Is it the same knife that's under your pillow?
It is the same knife under my pillow. Actually, they, you know, sized it down, but it is the same.
It looks really cool.
Can you brush your teeth with those in, or you take them out at night?
No, I do brush my teeth with them in.
Did you have to go to the dentist to get those put in?
No. She went to Costco.
No, this girl just came and did it.
Really?
And she's not a dentist.
Well, no. I don't know. I would maybe feel like I always have a piece of something stuck in my tooth, like a popcorn kernel.
Because you do. There is something stuck in your tooth.
That's what I mean, but it's pretty annoying you have something stuck in your tooth. So, like, is it comfortable on a daily basis?
Yeah, it is. Like, the first day you get it put on, like, you can feel it on your lips, which is kind of weird. But I also had braces for, like, literally 6 years. So, I'm used to it. Like, I don't mind it.
Well, the last question I have, and tell me this is too personal, but... what did you do on Valentine's Day? Because I saw a picture you posted, and it sounded like looked like the greatest Valentine's Day ever.
Oh. I went to Joshua Tree with Brandon. He got us, like, this place, and we just stayed the night there, and we got Dickies, which was really good. I haven't had Dickies in so long. It's like barbecue.
Okay.
And we're both from Texas, so, like...
Yeah.
Nikki's barbecue, like, yeah, it's really good. So we did that, and yeah, it was just really fun to just get away, and then we drove back yesterday. And
okay, because you posted a photo of yourself eating Pizza Hut in a car on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that was on the way.
Okay.
We stopped at Pizza Hut on the way and then ate it in the car, which was amazing.
This is real love between you two, because y'all have been together for a couple years now.
Yeah, almost. Well, yeah, 2 years. 2 years.
What about a Maggie Brandon EP?
Okay, relax.
Am I getting too ahead of myself?
That's a little
here?
Corny. I mean, you know,
it could be fun. You're together all the time. I know he's a phenomenal producer and songwriter, so it makes sense in a way.
When the time is right, don't milk
I'm
anything
not
too
forcing
quick.
It. I'm not saying now, but I'm just wondering if you guys ever talk about it, or you kind of keep work and, you know, relationship separate.
No, he always asks if we can make music. I actually had him on Different. Originally, he was on Different, and he just wasn't allowed to be on it because obviously he's in a group and we couldn't do it. But he did make a version of Different, and it was so good, and I wanted it to come out so bad, but couldn't.
So, does the version still exist?
It does. I still have it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh! Yeah. Beautiful.
It's still there. Maybe I'll just leak it one day.
Like, I don't know who did it. Wasn't me.
It wasn't me. I don't know who did it.
Like Maggie, you're the only one with a copy, so it had to be you.
Yeah, I'll pull us up this interview. They're like, we have the evidence.
Yo, Maggie Linderman, we've discussed a lot here. We've dissected Paranoia. That is the EP. It is not an album. It is an EP. And I've realized that, like, people are afraid of albums, their first one and their second one. People fear the sophomore slump, and people will call mixtapes just so they can be like, oh, I haven't put out an album yet. And I'm excited for the album whenever it comes, but I'm really excited for your music and to hear it evolve. It is a journey. Listen to the EP. There's a link in the description below. It's totally worth your time. It is phenomenal. Do you agree, Daniel?
I think it's fantastic. This is the music I grew up on, and I can hear a lot of influences, like I mentioned, Hawthorne Heights. Dude. I think there was a little bit of maybe you didn't hear this, but I heard a little bit of, like, early Linkin Park in there.
I did.
Was great.
Thanks.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of that in there. I was
Paramore,
like,
Paramore energy.
Absolutely Paramore. You Sleeping with Sirens, you mentioned Kellen Quinn. So yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I can't wait to see what the album holds.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Maggie Linderman. We thank you for giving us your time and energy. Hopefully next time we see you for this album, it's in the studio on the couch and not like this.
I know. Hopefully so.
Well, by the way, can you show us the posters on your wall?
I used to have more, but I moved, so I don't have that.
Oh, many. The Cure.
Yeah.
Is this your bedroom?
Yeah, this is my room.
Pink Floyd. Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Look at that. Like, you don't live in some, like, I was expecting maybe more like a castle-like structure, but this seems very normal. Okay, never mind. JK, that looks it looks like a castle warehouse.
I live in, like, a warehouse, basically. Yeah.
That's really cool, though. I'm into that. That's awesome.
Dan approved. Maggie Linderman, everybody. Paramore.
Putting an R in her name.
Is it Linderman? Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I'm, like, literally so used to it at this point, and people have been doing it my whole life. I'm like, it's fine.
Maggie Linderman, that's why you looked at me funny at the top of this conversation. Why didn't you correct me? What the fuck is your problem?
Well, you pronounce it. Well, we always pronounce people's name wrong, but, like...
Yeah, but not in front of the person. It's rude to do it in front of the person.
I know, but you always put an R in her name whenever we mention her name.
I know. It's terrible.
This caught me off guard a bit.
I feel so bad. Maggie Linderman. Jeez.
That's all right. The comment section will be fun.
Roast me. Go ahead. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for giving us energy today. And next time in person, and I won't f*** your name. Love.
Thank you.
Paranoia, that is the album. Link in the description below if you want to listen to it. It's really good. Sick brain. Peace and love. Thank you, dude. Beautiful human, thank you so much for listening to our entire conversation with Maggie Linderman. We really do appreciate you. Who should we talk to next? What music are you listening to? Reach out at Zach Sang Show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or Zach Sang on any form of social media. We'll be back soon. Thank you so much for giving us your ear today. Seriously, thanks. Peace and love. Have a great day.